Folks, many of you will be aware of the teaching of the opening chapters of the book of the Revelation. The last book in the Word of God, the last book in the New Testament, is the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, we see John's vision of the glorified Christ himself. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 record seven letters to seven individual churches in that day and generation. The seven churches of Asia Minor, round about the region today of modern day Turkey. And the gospel had spread out from Jerusalem. The apostles of Christ, the disciples and followers of the Lord, had been filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They had went everywhere preaching the word. They had gone into all the world to preach the gospel. And the gospel had spread in a wonderful way, and churches were being established in all sorts of different places. And one of those cities was the ancient city of Ephesus. Ephesus was a godless city. It was a place where they worshipped the goddess Diana. It was a city that was famous for many, many reasons, famous for its architecture. And yet in that sinful, secular, godless city, a city given over to idolatry, God saved the people and the church was established. And we read about that church in the very beginning of Revelation chapter 2. And the Lord encourages them. He says in Revelation 2 verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labour and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast had patience. For my name's sake thou hast laboured and hast not fainted." And so here's a church that is an evangelical, fundamentalist church, quick to expose error, quick to point out false theology, false doctrine, and the Lord rightly commends them for that. But there's a problem. The problem is that of dead orthodoxy. Dead orthodoxy. The things that they stood for were right, but they weren't doing it with their right heart attitude. They had wandered, they had drifted, they had left their first love. And this is the problem that the Lord has with them. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Outwardly, everything was right. The doctrine was right, the theology was right, the preaching was right, the standards were right. They knew the difference between truth and error. They had no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. This was an evangelical, fundamentalist, separated, Bible-believing church. And yet the Lord says, "I've got a problem nonetheless. You've left your first love. Your heart is not where it once was. You've wandered, you've drifted, not externally, but internally, in here in your hearts. You've left your first love. You don't love me the way you used to." And the Lord pronounces a great warning on that backdrop. He says, "Remember, remember from whence thou art fallen. Think about where you once were. Think about where you are now. Think about how far you've got from me. In your hearts." You know, it's very easy to cover up a cold and a backslidden heart with the mask of orthodoxy, to say the right things, to do the right things, to be against the wrong things, to be in the right place at the right time. And yet your heart far, far, far away from God. And the Lord actually exhorts this church to repent. Repentance is a turning from sin. Repentance is whenever a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred turn from his sin and turns unto the Lord. And even believers, even Christians, at times need to repent. And here was an entire church who needed to repent, not because of false doctrine, not because of false practice, but because of a wrong heart attitude. And he says, if you don't repent and you don't do the first works and get back to your first love, he says, "I will come unto thee quickly." This was a church that was almost on its last legs. "And will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. And he goes on to say, but you hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate, commends them for their standard of truth and righteousness, their theology, but threatens to remove the candlestick unless they repent. And here's an old candlestick, a candle holder that we've had for years. It's made out of pewter, which is a very strange material. It's a very soft type of metal. And the candlestick itself does not bear the light. The candlestick is not the light, but it holds that which bears the light. It's an instrument that is used to carry the light. And a church is like unto a candlestick. It's just an instrument that is used to uplift Christ, the light of the world. And yet the Lord says to that church, unless you repent of leaving your first love and your coldness, I'm going to remove the candlestick out of its place. And sadly, if you're to visit the city of Ephesus today, the ruins of that city, you'll discover that there's still the remains, the ancient ruins of a city, but there's no church. The church is long gone. It became secular. It just became like any other godless city. It got wiped out. It got eradicated because God removed the candlestick. Friends, in these days that we're living in, I fear that God will remove the candlesticks. Not so much because of false doctrine or false theology. We despise and we stand against those things, but because of our wrong heart attitude. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. That's the great commandment. I wonder today, do we really love him? If we love him, we'll want to be with him. We'll want to worship him. We'll want to talk to him. We'll want to serve him. We'll want to pray to him. We'll want to tell others about him. We'll want to please him. We'll want to obey him. We'll want to honour him. And sadly, whenever I look at the Church of Jesus Christ, I don't see that same desire. And it's my fear that the Lord will remove the candlestick. Take it away. North Korea today is not noted as being a Christian country at all. In fact, it's one of the most rigid countries in the world as far as a totalitarian dictatorship is concerned. But way back, I think it was 1904, 1905, there was a spiritual awakening, a biblical revival in North Korea. You can read about it in the little book, Banner of Truth, put out, the Korean Pentecost. And yet today, North Korea has hardly got a gospel light in it. God removed the candlestick. Maybe today, in this nation of ours, God is going to have to remove the candlesticks, close churches, because we have lost our first love. This little thing here is called a snuffer. If you ever read A Christmas Carol, it mentions that, and it's just used to put out the candlestick. Light goes out. The candlestick is removed. What then? Let's pray in these days that the Lord will stir our hearts. Let's pray for the awakening. Let's seek the Lord for a great revival. Friends, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Let's get back to the cross. Let's get back to Calvary. Let's get back to our first love. And let's love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. May God bless you. Thank you for joining us.